Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
And welcome to Onceable, episode 80. We will be discussing season 5, episode 11, Swan Song, the mid-season winter finale. And I'm Karen, and today I'm joined by Laura and Kristen. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Hello.
Now, as always, you can reach us on Twitter at Onceable or this post on Hypeable.com. Any of the other posts on Hypeable that have to do with Once Upon a Time. And obviously, after this, we're going to be in a bit of a hiatus. So leave us lots of feedback, things that we can interact with you on. And hopefully we'll be writing some articles as well, to kind of make up time while we wait until we figure out what happens next. All right, instant reaction. Brittany's instant reaction, though she couldn't be here, is two thumbs way up from Hades, which is clearly appropriate. But Kristen, what did you think of this episode?
I mean, objectively, it's amazing. It was a great episode. Can I say that I love it? No, it feels wrong to say that I love it, because of things we'll talk about, but it was a really well done episode and I really loved, the stuff, especially that Colin got to do. Like, he doesn't always get the most to do. So it's been really fun seeing him as Dark Hook.
Yeah, definitely. Laura, what about you?
Definitely a big thumbs up for me. I think I said it on Twitter that this was, I think, my favorite episode all season and maybe over the last two seasons. Granted, it was setting up the whole trip to the underworld and obviously we're going to meet Hades and everything like that coming up. But I felt like this episode wasn't so focused on being like a Brave commercial or like a Mulan commercial or a Sword in the Stone commercial, that we had a really great plot and really great dialogue and we weren't just like forcing stuff to like sell a Disney movie. So to me, the writing was awesome, in particularly Rumple. I really enjoyed very much this episode. So yeah, big thumbs up for me.
Okay, I'm going to be the odd one out here. I did like it. I am going to give it a thumbs up, but I had a couple issues with it just because I feel like we knew what was going to happen the entire time. We kind of knew that Hook was going to end up dying and that they would go to the underworld. I mean, that's sort of the crux of covering this show, is you can end up putting the pieces together fairly easily. And so it was more for me just like, all right, let's get to the point kind of thing. Although I will say Colin dominated this episode and he has been the last couple of episodes. Whenever they give him something like this, he really runs with it. And I hope that this is a continuing tradition because I think he deserves to be in the spotlight as much as he has been these last couple of episodes. I hate Rumple with every fiber of my being, and I will talk about that later, but I'm actually quite mad at how that ended up turning out. So even though I did like this episode, I don't think it's the best mid-season finale they've ever done. I think it was just a good episode overall, and I was hoping for a little more twists, a little more... I was talking to Kristen as the episode was ending, and I really wanted to see like some hint of Hades or something like that at the end. I think that would have been really cool, and it really would have gotten me excited. But
if Karen would have seen blue hair, this would have been her favorite episode ever.
Yeah,
let's be real. She was just waiting for the blue hair, and it didn't happen. So you know.
So now I'm just bitter. Yeah, that sounds like me. Okay, let's get into our favorite quotes. Kristen, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I'll go first because I was too taken aback by all of the Colin O'Donoghue and the fabulous stuff that Hook was doing to really write any down. So I was at the mercy of the internet, and the only one I could find that I liked was his, like, parting plea to Emma was, let me die a hero. That's the man I want you to remember. Please. And it's just Hook, and just makes me cry, and I love it so much.
Yeah. Actually, I probably should have gone first, because my quote is very closely tied to that. It's when Nimue asks Hook, what do you think you're doing? And Hook says, being the man I want to be. And I think that was a great overall theme for the episode, but also just Hook in general, because he has that dark past. The fact that even with the dark one inside of him, he fought it enough to want to sacrifice himself to save everybody at the cost of his own life. And I think that's just really important to remember for his character, because this is still Captain Hook. You know, he's still supposed to be the bad guy, and yet he's turned out to be one of the most selfless characters on the show that we've seen in quite a long time, and it's really nice. Laura, yours is a little bit different than ours.
Yeah, well, I figured you guys were going to take the Hook quotes, and you guys are much bigger Hook fans than I am. So I just went for something a little different, and it is one of those funny ha-ha quotes, but it's also the crazy sauce quote. And I picked Zelina, and it was when Robin and Regina go and see her, and she's like, I'm trying to decide what color would look best on your walls. I mean my walls. Kelly, Hunter, Pistachio. Oh my God, I just realized all three of those work as baby names. It's all just coming together. And it's like, for anybody else, that would just be pure sarcasm, but it's Zelina. She actually means it. legitimately, she could really mean that. And I think we've just said it so many times, is that she's just, you know, beyond like Rumple crazy. Like, Rumple does some stuff that is horrendous, but I don't doubt for a second he's totally in control. He's plotting, he's calculating. But he's not really delusional. Like, Zelina is total crazy sauce delusional, like horrible. So I just thought, oh my gosh, she's naming her children after green, because that is what she does. So that's why I took it.
And Pistachio? Really? You would name your child Pistachio?
Right, right.
Seriously. I mean, this is Once Upon a Time with all these fairy tale characters. Some of them do have pretty terrible names, so I guess we can't judge.
And it can't be Hunter. Hunterhood? I mean, seriously. Hunterhood. Kellyhood.
That is like, kind of mean.
Yeah, or for that matter, can we just not make the name Hood? Like, it's just, his last name is not Hood, people. It's Loxley. So, anyway.
All right, let's jump into the actual episode. We'll start off with Hook and his father, who we met in this episode. And is it just me, or they just continue to hit the casting out of the park? I thought they did a really good job casting such a lookalike father.
Yeah, I really liked it. I also thought, you know, just sort of like the acting level and everything was really great, too. I was, you know, it's really hard to have like an emotional scene like that and to really have it go incredibly great for somebody who I'm assuming they've never met before in their lives. I mean, I don't know, maybe they're chums back in Ireland, who knows, but I thought that every interaction, either the young Hook played by clearly another actor or the later on interactions, were just really awesome. I thought they both did a great job, and the writing on all of those scenes was very strong.
Yeah, I also really, really loved the casting of young Hook. Like, he had just enough of the baby face, but had enough that looked like Colin O'Donoghue that it worked really, really well. So they did a really great job with the casting of both his father and, like, younger Hook, too.
Can I just say, the whole time, like, when the father announced, like, you know, like the son's name was Liam, which was, you know, named after the younger brother that he had abandoned and everything like that. Did part of you go, why didn't you name him Killian? Like, I was, I was like, oh, we had to choose. So we choose the younger. So I was like, what? Yeah, I was a little taken aback that he would have named the one son after just frankly anyone from his past. I was really surprised.
Maybe it was like Liam Killian or something like that.
That's what I was imagining. Like, if he named him Liam because he felt bad, then maybe the boy's middle name was Killian or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or is it just a horrible Albus Severus mistake?
Let's not go there. I mean, unfortunately, Hook's father is not that great of a guy. He tells great tales of bravery, but then turns around and trades his sons for a rowboat to get the heck out of there. And so I think this really speaks to how Hook grew up, the childhood that he had once his father left, and why he became who he became. But also, you know, Hook is always looking for opportunities, and he's always drawn to the sea. And I think, you know, even before his father left, it just kind of makes sense. So this really did paint us a clearer picture of where Hook came from.
Right. Now, in between, though, wasn't part of the chronology that he was just like a regular, like he wasn't always a pirate, wasn't he? Maybe I'm remembering it wrong. Wasn't he like a regular sort of ordinary military seaman at some point, and then he turned into the pirate we know and love?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I believe he at one point is a regular sailor. I couldn't figure out who exactly this guy was that his dad like traded them to. So
yeah, like that was my thing. So like, was he like a merchant seaman and now he's like the cabin boy cleaning the decks or helping in the kitchen? Like, I wasn't really clear. Yeah, I think that was my problem, Kristen. Like, I wasn't really clear on that. And I also felt like, you know, he didn't go right from this to being a pirate. That was my thing. Like, there was, like, in between, he was this military guy who seemed to have reasonably, I don't want to say got on with his life, but seemed to be dealing okay with life. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, because I think, I didn't assume that the guy on the boat was a pirate. I assumed he was someone who his father, you know, needed to deal with. He could have been a pirate, but, I mean, I just kind of assumed he was a merchant or something, yeah, that he traded the boys to, and so now the boys would work for this guy or something like that. So,
yeah, I get that, but I think whenever you're abandoned by your parents, that's going to leave a mark. Like, he might have been able to work through that for a little while, but I also sort of feel like this was inevitable for him. And clearly, even after all those years, he was harboring a lot of anger for his father, but we'll end up getting to that in a little bit. First, let's jump to Storybrooke, and it's under siege, which we'll get to in a moment, but I want to talk about the thing that made me the second most angry in this episode, and that was Zelina being like, haha, just kidding, you're all going to die, and I'm going to steal my baby back and take her where you guys can never influence her and make her wicked. And I was like, once again, Zelina clearly does not care about her child. She is so incredibly selfish, which is so interesting to watch compared to Regina, who, once she had adopted Henry, yeah, she wasn't a great person to start out with, but Henry was always her weak point, and she was always trying to be the best person she could be for Henry. Zelina? Right. Nope. Not a chance. She's still just as horrible. Probably even worse if she wants to just take her baby away from Robin Hood.
Right. Well, even the thing, like, even when we first met Regina, like, even back in episode one, granted she was there to, like, you know, enact her revenge upon all, but there was still a certain element of making things work, you know, or I don't, it's like, to me, like, Zelina truly doesn't think about anything but her. Like, if she, like, her idea of a curse of a town wouldn't be to have the whole town serve her. She just, I don't know. It's just, maybe it's what you're saying, Karen. It's just, there's a level of crazy and there's a level of true selfishness that, like, Regina still felt the need to have other people around her and other interactions. And, like, underneath it all, like, you could even see Regina having moments where she really did have a heart, but I don't feel like we get this with Zelina at all, ever, on, like, you know, any kind of level.
And even when you think she's turning out to be maybe, like, a modicum better She just goes backwards
Right,
again.
the rug just gets pulled out from under you. Absolutely right.
So while I guess this wasn't like entirely surprising given her character, I was a little astonished that she was just so willing to make her baby wicked, you know, and it's just like clearly she isn't thinking about the child. Now,
Right. Like, I'm wondering, like, does the first time this baby seriously have a crying fit? Does this, like, seriously, like, I'm waiting for, like, somebody to call in magical child protective services. Like, that's, like, my real fear. I know that sounds so stupid, but, like, that's, like, my serious fear. Like, she is not going to be able to handle anything that this kid does ever.
yeah, well, luckily by the end of the episode, I don't think we really have to worry about that right now. But what we do have to worry about is all the Dark Ones descending upon the town. There's quite a few of them, and they're just sort of walking down the street in their robes, looking pretty terrifying. And I don't know about you, but I was surprised that at the top of the episode, they passed through all of these people and marked them, which means that the Dark Ones could stay in Storybrooke and the marked ones would have to be taken back to the underworld once the moon hit its peak or some nonsense that Rumple was saying. I wasn't even listening at that point. I was still mad at him, even though he hadn't done anything truly terrible yet. I just tend to block him out. But anyway, I was
Rumple walks on
surprised.
screen and Karen's like, "No, I'm done."
Yeah, pretty much. I was surprised right at the top of the episode, though, they went there. I thought it was going to be more of a last minute, like everyone's marked for the underworld kind of cliffhanger. And while we sort of ended up there, it was in more of a roundabout way than I guess I was expecting. What did you guys think of that whole scene?
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out. I was just a little like going, how does this work? I mean, I was following it, but I was just a little, how does this work was my big thing.
I thought it was incredibly convenient that everyone is marked except for Belle, and ta-da. Like, all of the main characters were marked. I don't know about the dwarves. I don't know if all of them
And
were.
Rumple isn't either, right? Rumple is not. Am I correct?
Well, I'm assuming not because he's a former Dark One.
Okay, that
So
makes sense.
I assumed they wouldn't mark
It
him.
was unnecessary. Okay, that makes
Right.
sense.
Or that they wouldn't want. Like, he wouldn't have been included in the possible marquees because
Right.
they are all Dark Ones. But yeah, I thought it was incredibly convenient that they just didn't mark Belle. And then at the end, when we're looking at them all standing around the beach, I'm like, there are definitely more people, more Dark Ones here than there are like main
Right.
characters. So which marked people did not get picked up to come to the shore? Like, I
Didn't
was
show
trying to
up on
figure all that
yeah.
out.
Who's hiding in their basement in terror?
Yeah, so, you know, I thought it was a little convenient about Belle, but besides that, it just kind of shocked me that Henry was included. Like, he is part of like the hero group now, but watching that happen to him, which I think he's the only one we actually saw it for. Like,
Right.
we saw the Dark Ones approach everyone else, but we didn't see what was happening. Seeing that happen to him, like, it really kind of made me take a look like at Henry again and just kind of think about it and say, yeah, you know, like he's not a little kid anymore. He's not just going to be spared by darkness because he's a kid. You know, a lot of times these spells and things will affect the kids less, or you know, they just kind of overlook them. And now he is really one of the party. So yeah, you know, he's going to be sent to the underworld with everyone else. And it just kind of struck me kind of crazy.
Yeah. I really liked it. I liked that he's now sort of grown up enough that he gets to be part of like major plot lines. Like I thought it was funny later on in the episode how Robin's like, "Oh, by the way, Roland and Neil is with the fairies." Like it was just like let's get that plot point in there in case anyone's going, "So where are the kids? You know, the
Yeah.
merry men have them."
Which I think is good because people would have been like, where are your children?
Yes.
Where
Which
is Neil? Yeah.
Right, and we have definitely raised that question more than once on the podcast of like, you know, no one ever is raising Neil. He's just out there like waiting for his diaper to be changed, playing in traffic. So I thought it was good that they did address that, but I really did like that Henry is now Like, he's a teenager, and I think every YA novel written, you know, is constantly talking about, you know, how the teens want to be part of the action with the adults. They want to be treated more like an adult. And I think this was absolutely a case where that worked.
Right. And let it be known that not only is this a bad idea that they're going to the underworld because they're, like, going to die, but people like Regina, there are a lot of people in the underworld that would love to get their hands on her, and she's a little nervous about it, rightfully so, and she goes and has a chat with Hook. And she tries to remind him that he's a different man than he was before, and that he can fight the darkness. And she brings up when she contracted him to kill her mother. And we get a little flashback here. But before we get the flashback, there's this moment where Hook is like, I told you never, you know, to speak of that again. And he is so upset. And this is before we actually figured out what he had done to his father. So at that point, were you like, yeah, he totally killed his father, or yeah, you know, he thought about it, but he didn't actually go through with it? Because I was still thinking like it was a sore subject, but it was maybe a moment of weakness where he hadn't actually killed him, and maybe he was like regretting it or something else happened.
Yeah, I kind of figured that something, like maybe he wasn't the active killer of his father, but maybe he could have done something to stop it and didn't, or I thought he might have been a party to it without actually being the perpetrator of it at that point. Just because he seemed really upset about it, like he was personally hurt by it more than just, you know, like more than he wasn't involved at all and less than he did it himself. At least that's kind of how I thought about it.
Laura, did you have any thoughts about that?
No, I'm kind of where Kristen is, actually, tell you the truth.
Okay. And so when we actually do get the flashback, you know, Hook finds his father, they meet. It's a little emotional. Hook kind of gives him, you know, like the benefit of the doubt. And so he says he's going to help him escape, but he needs to help him and his son because, you know, he got another wife who died and then they had a son. And as Brittany puts it, this is Liam 2.0, smaller, better, not dead. So yeah, he named the kid Liam, and we already talked a little bit like that, but Hook realizes that his father isn't going to change. He's telling Liam 2.0 the same stories that he told Hook and Liam 1.0, and it's not going to work out. And so obviously he kind of goes through with the whole killing thing, and Hook's always been, you know, that villain, or at least on the edge of villainy, but this was pretty violent, especially considering that it was his father. So were you guys shocked?
Yeah. Didn't expect to see it. Didn't expect it to go quite like that. Because again, I figured he had a hand in it, but not directly. And
right.
To see how it went down, yeah, I was pretty shocked.
I think what really shocked me more than anything else is the fact that we know there's this kid who's like sleeping in the next room, and he's orphaning a kid, which is what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's what really stunned me more than anything else. I thought that was going to be what was going to stop him from doing anything. So I was really, really surprised.
Yeah, I thought that Liam 2.0 was actually going to come out and see Hook murder his father. And I was like, this is going to be really terrible for that kid.
Now, here's the thing, too. What happens to the kid? Did I just lose track of this plot point?
I don't think we find out.
Yeah, I don't think we found out either. And I know when his dad first said his name, Karen and I both kind of looked at each other. I had thought he had said Leo or something weird, so I didn't know. But we were both like trying to think of who this kid could be.
That was my next thing, yeah.
Yeah, like who did this kid grow up to be? Is it a character we've met or someone we know, or you know? So
right.
there's always that maybe we haven't met this kid yet, but there's a possibility that it could be an adult somewhere along the line here that comes into play.
Right. And like magical timelines being what they are, I'm not really clear how old this kid would be.
Yeah.
Because obviously you have Hook, who looks like he's in his mid-30s, I would say. And you've got this kid who was what, like 10 maybe in the scene we saw, if I was to take a guess at it?
If that, yeah, he looked pretty young.
So, yeah. Like, I'm just, you know, and there's the whole magical timelines and where were you and how were you able to stay old or young? Like, it could be very confusing as to who this kid is and how old he is. You know, is he a teenager? Is he, I don't know. I think it could be very interesting to see where this goes.
And I wonder if they'll bring him back for the second half of the season, considering Hook will also be in the underworld. It's a type of hell. Is he going to have to, you know, essentially, well, live isn't the right word, but live with his choices and maybe come up against either this person in the underworld or like the idea of them, you know, like maybe Hades is torturing him with the idea that he orphaned this person. And so we could end up seeing him again, which would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, timeline-wise, I was trying to kind of place it, and we know that this Hook, the one that kills Brennan, like we see him do it, has already lost Mila. So it's like the curse could have come into play somewhere in the middle there, or it would have. So yeah, that kid could be a teenager or an adult or whoever, you know, we don't have an exact timeline. So yeah, there's a definite possibility of Liam 2.0 popping up at some point.
Now there was this really great and emotional part to this episode too, which is that Rumple tells them all, look, don't bother trying to fight this. There's nothing you can do. I know this for a fact. Just be with your loved ones. And for a hot second, they hit the books, like Snow and Charming and Emma all hit the books. And then Snow is like, you know what? No, like, I don't want to waste my time doing this. I want to be with my family if I'm going to die. And so Henry suggests they go to the diner and they have dinner. And it actually packs quite the emotional punch because we've never seen them give up before. Not that they're necessarily giving up, but, you know, they want to spend their time wisely. And between that and Emma's letter, where she kind of tells Emma, she kind of tells Snow what she's planning, it was a pretty emotional, like a dark emotional moment for me.
Yeah, I kind of attributed Snow and Charming and Henry kind of saying, let's not spend our time digging through books for an answer we're never going to find. I kind of played that off as usually they have someone with the magical connection or someone more powerful than them that they can go to for help while they're still, you know, running through options. And in this case, that usually used to be Rumple or Regina. In this case, Rumple's already told them there's nothing we can do. He knows what this is. He's the one who told them, and there's nothing he can do. And Emma is already running around trying to do whatever she can do. So I think they just said, you know, like, what will be is what will be. If Emma figures out a way to save us, then, you know, awesome. But considering that this is certain death, like there's no way out of it if this mark doesn't disappear, you know, we're gonna take this one in stride. Like it's almost seemed like a different kind of scenario for me, and I was a little surprised too when they put the books down and all that, but I did, it felt right. Like it felt like they were making the right decision this time, like in just kind of setting things aside. So I did feel bad that they weren't necessarily including Emma in the moment, though. It was like, let's go to the diner, and Emma, you can run around and try and save us. It's like, she's your daughter, too?
I kind of thought that was Emma's choice, though. Like, she was definitely like, I don't want to give up. Like, this is pretty terrible. I'm the one that's going to be left behind. So I felt like, you know, she could have been there if she wanted to, but she chose to keep working on the problem.
As you would expect her to, yeah.
There were two characters this episode that I was like, well, clearly they're trying to get rid of them for various reasons. One ended up not quite panning out the way that I thought it would, which was Belle. And we'll talk more about her later, but just know that, you know, Rumple did try to get her out of town. She ends up coming back, and there's a whole thing that I will yell about soon. But the other one was Xelena. And Regina takes Xelena to the clock tower and uses the wand, which she previously couldn't use, but now she believes in herself strongly enough, and she uses the wand against Xelena and sends her back to Oz, which part of me was like, praise, because she's crazy and she should not be around her daughter. The other part was like, what's the point? I feel like that just is kind of setting aside something that potentially needs to be taken care of sooner rather than later. Like, I feel like this is going to come back and bite Regina in the butt, but I'm not sure how or when just yet. Were you guys glad to see Xelena go off in the green smoke monster tornado?
I was glad for it. I just felt like, well, that's a temporary solution. Like, I'm like, so is she gonna be back like next fall? I just felt like it was a real temporary solution.
Yeah, it's, and especially since we know she's going to be a series regular, like, clearly she has to come back or something. So I don't know what they're planning with this, but it just feels like putting off the inevitable, and I'm not sure I'm, like, down with that. I think I'd rather it just kind of stay at the forefront of the story until it's taken care of.
Hmm.
Hook, this episode, near the end, was actually quite complex because he's still mad at Emma, and rightfully so, because he wanted to die a hero and she took that away from him. But he also thanks her for making him the man that he wanted to be. And it's clear that they still love each other, but that what Emma did to him definitely felt like a betrayal. And Emma has Excalibur, and she has to kill Hook, essentially, is what is going on. She has to capture the darkness, and she has to sacrifice whatever she can in order to get rid of it and to get the darkness out of the world for good. So they have a little battle, and he keeps, like, poofing off whenever she gets close, and then he shapeshifts into Henry. And part of me was like, okay, low blow. But the other part was like, Emma, you're really falling for this? Like, I understand that it was kind of a shock and she didn't want to run Henry through just in case it actually was her son.
Right.
But Hook's, that's the sort of thing that a dark one's going to do, is he's going to prey on your fears and your loved ones. And that's what happened. And I was kind of a little miffed that Emma actually fell for it.
I believe the word I yelled was idiot. Like, the second he poofed into Henry, I just went, idiot, no! Because I knew she was just going to hand it over, and she did. And I'm like, you spent the last, like, 5 minutes trying to end Hook, so of course he's going to... I was so frustrated, because I knew what was going to happen, and I'm like, why are you just handing it over? It makes no sense.
What did you think, Laura?
Yeah, I was just like, oh, come on. I was like, we've all been here. Like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, again, I get why she did it, but it was just like, come on, you had to know. You had to know.
All right, so let's get to the big moment here, which is Nimue is there to kind of whisper into Hook's ear, but he ends up having a change of heart. And he still wants to be the man he knows that he can be. And so he takes Emma's darkness into Excalibur. And that's when Emma realizes that he's going to sacrifice himself. Now, I feel like we've known this is coming for quite some time and that it was kind of always going to end this way. Did that diminish this emotional scene for you guys, because Colin was amazing, as he has been, with the anger and the devastation of what he feels like he has to do, and the desperation that, you know, he wants Emma to let him go so he can be a hero.
I think I had kind of made my peace with the fact that somehow, you know, knowing what was coming next with the whole underworld thing, we knew someone was going to die. And knowing that Hook kind of died in Camelot and was then,
right,
like, almost resurrected by Emma, I always assumed it would be him. So I think I had ultimately made my peace with that. That withstanding, I still was, like, almost in tears. Like, I don't think I actually bawled, but, like, I remember, like, sitting there, like, this is not really happening. Like, it still stung, because in the last moments, he undoes all of the evil he spent two episodes cooking up, and he does the right thing, and he saves the day, and he does it, you know, very selflessly. And it's a really, really great moment for him and Emma, and for Colin, most definitely.
Yeah, it was, as I said, all around, I mean, just such a strong, really incredibly strong scene. Part of me wanted them to actually go there and be like dead, because I think there's a danger in, I mean, Once Upon a Time has gone there before. I mean, it's not like they didn't kill Neil. I mean, they certainly did. But I think you can very quickly get wrapped up in the, oh, you're not really dead, but we're going to get saved on this loophole. And after a while, it's like, oh, look, they're fixing dead again. So I don't know. I would have actually kind of liked it if Hook decided to leave. I know I'm going to get all sorts of hate mail on that. But I don't know. I would kind of like, you know, dead to be something you can't fix.
I mean, but for Hook, well, you're not the biggest fan of Hook.
Yeah, I'm not the big Hook fan, so if it's not really painful for me. I will say that.
I mean, I think Colin
O'Donoghue's acting notwithstanding, but yeah, it wouldn't bother me. I get where it could be a problem, but I don't know. I just feel like it becomes cliche of let's rescue somebody from death. You know, I kind of like dead being dead.
I actually kind of agree with you there. I mean, if it was anyone but Hook, I think, and like Regina, I think I would be okay with it, because I feel like death has to have like that consequence of not being able to return from it sometimes. And you get that in a lot of supernatural shows. I mean, it's happened on Teen Wolf a bunch of times, and obviously Supernatural, the show, and just a bunch of others where you kind of start to doubt if anyone's really dead, and it doesn't hold that weight that it should.
Vampire Diaries.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't even tell you how many times people have died, and then come back to life three times. Like,
it's kind of crazy. But I feel like they couldn't do that with Hook, because it's Hook. And regardless of how you really feel about him, he's become this huge fan favorite character, and he's, you know, it is an ensemble show, but because he's the main character's love interest, he's been there a bit more significantly than Neil has. Obviously, they have like a big past, but his presence has been so strong, especially in the last like season and a half, that I feel like they couldn't actually kill him. But I will say, I'm a terrible person, because the entire episode I was just like, can everyone just die already so we can go to the underworld? Because that's all I care about. And I realize that I'm super biased by, you know, about that. But it felt a little anticlimactic with me, because for one, I did kind of see it coming. And two, I just wanted to get it over with. I just wanted to see Hades. And I was hoping we would get Hades this episode. And so it didn't have as much of an impact on me, the actual death, but the emotion between Hook and Emma was devastating.
Yeah. As far as, like, Hook dying and not coming back. Like, I feel like at this point, Emma has lost every guy she's ever had any sort of attraction to, and they've died. And so, like, this time, yes, Hook is dead. He sacrificed himself. He is now gone. Poof. Like, the sheer fact that she knows there's a way, you know, somehow there's got to be a way for her to get him back. So she's going to try this, you know, this one last time. She's going to go where no one has gone before and, you know, step into the underworld. So I feel like he has, more than anyone, like, he is that fairy tale love for her that she never thought she'd have when she was human, because she was human and didn't know about any of this stuff. And, you know, so I feel like Hook's relationship with her is a little more substantial than some of the others she's had, not including Neil, but he was, you know, he died and there was just, you know, we all kind of saw it coming after a while. So I feel like they can't just get rid of Hook at this point. Like, there's certain characters that they just can't go. It's like Charming and Snow. If one of them died, it would feel all kinds of wrong. And so I feel like at this point, there are certain people who just, if they died for good, it would feel like, it would almost feel cheaper than them being able to go back and save him.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think what also made this scene so powerful was the fact that Emma had to kill him. She ran him through with a sword. That was a violent, personal ending for him. And, you know, they kissed and she did it and she held him as he fell. And everybody's looking on, and poor Henry is looking on. You know, he's still a kid, no matter how mature he really is. I feel like this whole business with people dying and potentially going to the underworld could really affect him a lot, because he has a lot of innocence compared to everyone else, and it could potentially be very traumatizing. I don't know if they're going to end up going in that direction, but considering he is going to the underworld, I wouldn't be surprised if things started to get to him a little bit. But just that closeness of Emma and Hook as Hook died in her arms was, wow. I was shocked to see it. And then, as Brittany says, sadness is replaced by pure rage, because Rumpel is the douche-faced and all douche-faces, and I'm trying really hard not to just start screaming because this makes me so incredibly angry. So I'm going to explain it and then throw it to you guys so I can calm down. Because essentially what happened was Rumpel used some magic in a bottle, and he ended up getting the Dark One dagger off of Excalibur and becoming the Dark One. And not only did he become the Dark One once again, he's, and this is the part that confused me a little bit, more powerful than he was before. And I think this is because it has all of the Dark Ones, and it also has, you know, what was like Merlin. Merlin,
yeah,
wasn't,
he's like the super
in there.
Dark One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Merlin wasn't in there before, but now his power that he had is in there as well. And so there's even more power rolling through Rumpel. And what did you guys think about him becoming what he has been this whole time, once again, for what feels like the 500th time?
I was just like, no. Really? Really, really? I thought we fixed this. Like, yeah, I was, and there are like other things that I guess we will get to in a minute with him and Belle. And I was like, she just slept with the Dark One. Yes.
I mean, I was surprised because, you know, the way everything was looking, Hook had destroyed all the darkness, and that was awesome. And his sacrifice was noble and amazing. And yeah. And then we meet up with Rumpel and we find out all of these twisted, horrible, awful, evil things that he did. And it didn't surprise me, because what else are they going to do with Rumpel? they couldn't leave him the weak, feeble old man who Belle couldn't love because he didn't really choose all of this and blah, blah, blah. I'm so over Rumpel. Like, they've gone back and forth on his character so many times that it's no longer surprising. And I'm really hoping he doesn't come back out of the underworld. I just want him to die. Just stay there and die. And
yeah,
Hook can come back in his place. And Belle can mourn him and then go hang out and find someone else who's way better for her.
So what I'm really wondering if, if where they're going to go in part two now, because Emily Duravin, who plays Belle, is pregnant. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if they're going to continue to hide her behind big pink coats and scarves the rest of the season.
God,
like
I
they've
hope
been
so.
Doing. Or are we going to get the Rumpel Belle baby that they're going to write into it? Or are they just, like I said, going to continue to hide her in big pink coats and scarves and put her behind furniture? And now Ginny Goodwin is pregnant again, too. So are they, yeah. I mean, the poor directors will be like, okay, here, you stand behind the plant. Somebody else stand in front of her. Like, I have a feeling that they will probably not write Ginny Goodwin's pregnancy into it. But they could definitely be writing Emily Duravin's pregnancy into it, given, you know, the scene of, you know, that we just saw this week.
Yeah, they haven't hesitated to sideline Belle before, and I could see them just putting her kind of in the backs. Like, they're going to the underworld, and most of the focus is going to be on them in the underworld, so I can see them just, like, putting her on the back burner and occasionally bringing her face into screen, like, standing at the library desk or something so you can't see her belly, but that I can see them just kind of shoving her to the side. I think Ginny's will probably be harder to mask at this point.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. I wrote some things down so I wouldn't, like, go on a tirade. But I have three huge problems with this story. And I think maybe, you know, a few of them could be purposeful. But sometimes I just think that they want to keep Rumpel around because he's such a fantastic character and the actor is incredible, and yet that's not servicing the storyline because they keep going back and forth so much. So my first thing is that Rumpel at this point is boring. We've seen him be the Dark One before. Regina is so interesting because she's grown and changed over the course of the series. We're in 5 seasons now. Rumpel is the Dark One again. Really? He's never learned his lesson. Somebody hasn't ended up killing him. He's not grown worse. He hasn't been super sneaky. He just keeps going back and forth. And I'm over it. I don't care anymore. And I think that's terrible because I really like Rumpelstiltskin from the Enchanted Forest. Like, let's keep him around for a while. But Mr. Gold is the worst character on the show, and I think he's poorly written, and it's unfortunate because the rest of the season has been so good. But two, this is such a travesty for Belle because her character deserves so much better than this. And I think it would have been interesting, as much as I hated it, way better than this, to have her be back with Rumpel and have him be powerless. And if she decided, you know, wow, you're really not the man that I thought you could be. Fine, whatever. You know, she's her own character. She needs to be independent, and she needs to do something more than pine after the person she hopes Rumpel can be and go to the library. She's extremely intelligent and talented. She can be doing a whole lot more than she is. But lastly, Hook's death at this point was in vain. He did that so that they could destroy the darkness. And that didn't happen. And like I said, maybe that's like the point of the story. And we do see Emma confronting Rumpel at the end. But I feel like if you're going to kill off Hook and not make it, you know, make it so transparent that you're doing it, make it transparent that you're going to bring him back, the least that you could do is have his death have a purpose. And at this point, it doesn't. I don't even know if it really had shock value because we kind of saw that it was coming. So this whole storyline with Rumple is so poorly done that they need to get him off the show. And I feel bad because Robert Carlyle is a great actor, but Mr. Gold serves no purpose anymore. And what he has been doing has been dragging the other characters around him down so completely that I don't even enjoy hating him anymore. I just want him gone.
Tell us how you really feel,
Off my
Farron.
soapbox.
As you were kind of explaining all of that, it kind of made me think maybe, and I'm the first person to say it was totally unfair that what he did basically it took away from the sacrifice that Hook was willing to make, which is kind of Emma's point is, you know, he sacrificed himself to destroy all darkness, and you made that meaningless. So we're going to the underworld to get him. Like, she kind of embraced that part of it. But maybe now that all of the darkness is in one place, like there are no more former dark ones, all of that power is now in Rumple. Hook's darkness slash Merlin's, you know, power is all in Rumple. And Emma, the dark one's power that was taken from Rumple, is there in the same place as well. So now all of the like ultimate dark one magic power is in one place. So now it takes one death to get rid of it. So maybe this isn't going to be a waste. Like maybe Hook's sacrifice, it brought it all to one place, to one point, so that darkness can be eradicated completely. That maybe it wouldn't have been if Rumple hadn't underhandedly been an awful human being again.
Yeah, and maybe this is the final straw for Belle because Rumple's power was sort of taken away from him. This time, even after being a hero, supposedly, even after having a blank slate, he chose to go back to the Dark One power. I think that proves once and for all to Belle that he will never change. And even though she had that hope that he did, because when they kissed, clearly, you know, she had some feelings and thoughts that he was going to be better, which Kristen can attest to, like how I reacted to that. There was a lot of angry, like grunting and groaning. I was so mad. I was seething. But maybe, you know, this is Belle finally learning you will never change, Rumple.
Yeah, wasn't it Emma while they were standing in the shop that she said something like, I could go tell Belle right now, or, and I'm like, there is no or. Tell her now. Like,
She deserves that.
make sure she knows exactly what's gone down because this is not, yeah, like this is ultimately the choice she's always kind of wanted him to make. And he was free and clear, had no attachments to anything, and was not being at all manipulated. And he made a flat out choice to be powerful again. And there, it wasn't like he had a reason, like he needed the power to save someone or do something. Like, he just wanted the power. And so it's like ultimately he's made the choice. So it's like, I really hope Belle knows or finds that out before all of this like ends.
Yeah, I can't imagine Emma or somebody else not telling Belle. She deserves to know. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, since it's like the ultimate, they all know the struggles Belle's had with him and they know why, so I can't imagine someone wouldn't be like, you need to know what happened.
Yeah. Now, all right, so by the end of the episode, Emma basically, I don't know if she really strikes a deal with Gold because she says, take me to the underworld or I'm telling Belle. So it's sort of like a standoff. And so Rumple agrees to it. Kristen, I know when we were watching this scene and everyone walking into the water, you're like, they're bringing Henry? Because it did feel like we really want to bring the kid. I mean, he's pretty smart and resourceful, and we know he has a bit more going on with him, being the author than it really seems, but still, he's a kid. You want to take him to the underworld?
I think I just thought Emma was going, or like Emma
Me
and Rumple.
too.
I didn't think the whole crew was going, and then all of a sudden they're all just walking toward the boat, and I'm like, okay, everybody's going to the underworld. Let's go.
I had the same thing too. I was not understanding that everyone was leaping on board and walking on water until they did. I completely agree with you.
Well, they
Although
were
I
not
wonder if
walking
it
on
got
water because I was looking at Emma's boots and they were like suede and they were getting wet and I was very upset about it because they were beautiful boots.
So I was wondering if it was just sort of like, well, screw it, we're marked anyway, so might as well take a trip to the underworld. Like, I wasn't sure if they just felt like it was at a certain point inevitable, so maybe it's just better if they all went on their own terms. I wasn't sure if that was what was up with it.
Yeah, and like no one seemed concerned that like I figured Regina would have said no, Henry's not going because what happens if somehow they can't get back or they get like I figured Regina of all people would be like Henry is not going. Like he's staying. Not that I want him left out, but I just would have expected that. So when they all just started walking toward the boat, I was like I don't know what's happening. Like when Emma made the deal with Gold, I was not under the impression she made it to take anyone with her, but she wasn't stopping anyone from joining her either. So, yeah, not a totally kind of taken off guard by the end there.
And so the episode ends, and we go to like the little scene after, which shows us kind of how we're going to start off in the second half of the season. And the underworld looks exactly like Storybrooke, which I think is actually fairly clever in an easy way for them to like not go over budget for making like this whole new set that they have to go through. And it makes it feel a little more familiar, but also like, something's wrong with the Storybrooke that we're in right now. So what did you guys think about the underworld being the town that they live in?
I remember seeing someone from the cast, I think, tweet a picture of the clock tower like being on the ground in rubble and me going, "What is happening? Why is the clock tower on the ground? Like what the what?" Like I was very taken aback, and then when we kind of got the overview of the underworld and saw that it was Storybrooke and the clock tower's like the top of it was on the ground, I was like, oh, okay. Like this makes a lot more sense now. I think it's again, yeah, it's a smart way to use sets that they have in a new and different way, and seeing all of those like characters that we've lost kind of pop up in Storybrooke again, or characters that were never actually really in Storybrooke but are there, it's very crazy.
Right. And for me, like, I don't remember the original Hercules movie too much. Like, I absolutely saw it when it came into theaters, but I don't think I, and I'm sure I bought it on like DVD or whatever, but I don't really remember watching
VHS?
it.
Back then it was VHS,
Yeah, maybe
Laura.
it was VHS. I don't even remember. It could have been, like, I wasn't, because it was right at the cusp of like when they had, they were switching systems.
It
So I
was
can remember which it
definitely
was.
VHS
Okay.
because I have it
You
on
have
both.
it. Okay, good to know. So I never really saw it again. So for me, I couldn't quite remember what the underworld looked like so much. Like, if it looked like, what the area that we saw the rest of the movie and then shifting to underworld. So I didn't really have a thing one way or the other for it.
The
But I do like
underworld.
that concept. I do kind of, I don't know. It's going to be interesting for me. Like, I'm curious to see how they go about. I like what they did with the sets. I like the concept of where they're going to bump into all these people. I thought that was cool. I mean, certainly, like, from the movie, like, Meg stands out to me very much, like that character. And then obviously Purple Hair Hades. I'm just wondering, I'm hoping he's just not so distracting looking that we can't take him seriously. Like, when we had the whole Brave segment, and there was that weird little Scottish guy who looked like he had anime hair going on the whole time. It was hard to concentrate. So I'm hoping that as we go down this line, we are able to concentrate.
In the Hercules movie, the underworld is basically like underground in a bunch of caves, which is kind of what I was wondering if they were going to do that, but this feels more like the movie Constantine to me, which shows Constantine going into hell, and it's the world he knows, but it's dying, it's degrading. There are like these sandstorms and this horrible wind, and everything's rusted and just like in horrible condition. And I feel like it feels more like that, where it's Storybrooke, but something's wrong about Storybrooke. So I'm excited to see how that plays out. What I'm more interested in is how, like, who's going to end up showing up in the underworld? Because, like, nearly everyone is coming back, dead or not. So that's interesting. You know, is Neil going to be there? What are the rules for the people that are in the underworld? Because I think, you know, the villains are going to be there, Cruella, Pan, but who else is going to be coming back that maybe isn't bad, but died in a certain way? I'm not really sure what rules they're going to establish for that.
I was going to say, I know we're supposed to see Regina's father, who was not evil in any way, but was killed, sacrificed by her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know he was mentioned as coming back, so it sounds like we're not only going to see villains, like, because we all know that Cora is supposed to be back, too.
Right, yeah, she was in that preview, too, and it was like, wow. Just seeing, like, even seeing Pan was weird. It was really weird, but I'm excited. I think this is going to be a great, because of course the next episode is the 100th. So they're pulling out everybody they can think to bring back. They're going to try.
I think it's a really cool way to do a 100th episode too. Like, because they're going somewhere that involves like the dead, or, you know, like they can include all of these characters that have come before and are gone now, and they can do it like in a really interesting, fun way. I'm really looking forward to the 100th. I think it's gonna be really cool.
Yeah, it's a logical explanation for why we're gonna see these people again, not just whimsy, which sometimes can happen, but isn't always pulled off
right.
With the best. Yeah. All right, well, that's basically it for the discussion. Before we get into the feedback, is there anything else you guys wanted to mention before we move on?
Nope.
All right.
Yeah, nothing here either.
All right, cool. All right, a couple pieces of feedback. These come from Twitter. The first one is from Crystallian, who said, just had a mental image of Hook and Hades kicking it, drinking some rum in the underworld. Please. That would be brilliant.
Yeah, I could go for that. I could absolutely go for that.
As long as Hook doesn't get too comfortable in the underworld.
Yeah.
And then we also have Mr. Elsie Kunha, who says, can we just ask, yo, Hades, take Rumple once and for all. After this episode, I can't defend him anymore. I need him dead. Clearly, I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. I think I proposed him dying too in this episode at least once. So yeah, I'm definitely with you there, Lucas.
And then Jay Yager 2002 says, I cannot wait to hear what Karen has to say about this episode. Rumple sucks, but at least he isn't boring. I would argue that he is boring at this point, but yeah, it caused some emotional outburst from me. So clearly, you know, they're doing something right if I feel that strongly about it. And Gwendolyn 2984 said, I foresee a Rumple rant coming up on Once of All. She tweeted that to me directly. I hope you enjoyed the rant because, yeah, it was definitely there. And let's see. And that's it for feedback. So season 5, episode 12, Souls of the Departed will air March 6th, 2016. So we've got a couple of months. The hiatus. What are we going to do for the hiatus? Well, we always say we're going to record. We almost never do. I think this time we might actually try to record. If there's any big news dropping, we'll do a news roundup episode. Brittany and I would really love to watch the Hercules movie and do some sort of episode about it, whether it's just discussion or like pair it with what we want to see in the show. Kristen, I know you'd be down for that because you like Hercules too. Laura.
Almost definitely, especially the music.
Yes.
Which I know we won't see on Once Upon a Time, but still.
But it was, what if they make song puns like, you're really going the distance there, aren't you, Herc? I'm like tearing up right now. I'm so dumb. I'm sorry. Laura.
Man, you just went from zero to hero there, didn't you, Hook?
That would be amazing.
Oh, God.
I feel too strongly about this. Please.
Terrible puns. That's all I ask for. Laura, would you be interested in discussing Hercules the movie and maybe freshen up on it before the show comes back?
Yeah, I could do that. I could rewatch. Like I said, it's been a really long time since I've watched it. So yeah, that would be interesting to do.
Awesome. We'll figure out exactly what we're going to do there. I think it would be fun to do like a commentary, but like that'd also be a really long episode of Onceable, so I'm not sure we can do that. But tweet us, let us know what you want, and we'll see what we can do. If you have any ideas for the hiatus, also shoot them our way, and we will put together some fun stuff, hopefully. But until then, don't know when we'll see you next or when you'll hear from us next. But until then, I'm Karen.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Laura.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.